On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How do you like me now? Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. Rob over there, Matt over here. Have I told you that I catch a lot of flack when I don't introduce us first?
Have I told
no,
you?
No, stop. No one needs to hear that. And no, you haven't.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
See that? I even lifted it up.
Look at this fucking guy.
It's only 250 yeah, shows.
Exactly. I wanted to, and then completely undo all the goodwill you'd built up in 7 fucking seconds.
Yes. It's what I do.
Yeah.
So you get flack for not introducing.
Yeah.
What, people aren't sure who it's going to be?
Yeah, because I mean, 95% of the time, it's you and I. Just the two of us. Yeah. No, it, you know what? If you can't do it.
Yeah, look at you. It's like, short of Matt and his solo flights of fancy.
That would have been a great name.
Wrapped up like a douche.
Yeah, man.
Look at that guy.
Another runner in the night.
Yeah, exactly.
Can Deuce. I complain for a second? Because really that's all this is about, this platform.
Well, and usually this is my forum.
Yeah.
My spot in the show to...
Well, this is way less, I don't know, descriptive. You have a severe hatred for the people of my neighborhood. I really
all of them really.
So this has happened to me twice now in the last month and a half. The first time I went away for 4 business days. I came home to 19 pieces of junk mail in my tiny little condo mailbox. And then this time I went probably 3 business days and ended up with 15 pieces of junk mail in my. And I don't get how this is still in 2017 something that we do. If in no other, it's been annoying for a very long time. It's been fodder for bad stand-up comedians for 30, 40 years. The part that I don't get is in a society now that's so wrapped up in being green and
paperless.
Yeah. How we just allow any business to print out 5,000, 10,000 pieces of paper every week that you literally pull out of your mailbox, turn around, and drop in the trash. Or recycling, depending on...
Well, see, and they've taken measures to keep you from spam arriving in your inbox, and that is paperless, and you can take measures to do that.
But at least that didn't destroy a couple hundred trees,
No, this
right?
is what I'm saying, is it seems like it's in reverse. Like, you should be looking at...
This should be the because Canada Post, and this is where I get tied up, and I want your opinion here in a second... Because Canada Post is a government-run agency, and the government, especially with a Liberal government in right now, is always talking about things we can do to be more environmentally friendly and whatever, this should be a no-brainer. Only mail specifically addressed to someone is being carried. The other problem, though, or this is where I get torn, is Canada Post is a unionized business, and maybe that's all that's left for these people to carry around to still have jobs is just shit nobody cares about.
Don't kid yourself that they're not getting paid to do that.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I got the same shitty Chinese restaurant has sent me a menu every week since I moved here a year and a half ago.
You ever tried it?
No. Okay. Because I don't like being solicited to that way. To get a stand on a street corner like any worthwhile business.
Show a little moose knuckle.
Right. Don't fuck. Oh, A&W's got burgers on for the. Google that shit, man. Yeah. Run a TV. Don't flood my fucking.
Yeah, you're not in for the 2-for-1 burgers at A&W?
Of course I am. Look at me. Of course I am. But I don't need it in the mail. Just okay. Come in and save 35 fucking cents. Cost 50 cents tree to send that to me.
Decent onion rings. At A&W.
I'm not really in for the onion ring.
Man, I love an onion ring.
Like, not just at A&W. It's just not really my...
Yeah, but you know what? 3 onion rings, and then I regret it.
Yeah.
Each
like, almost
time.
Anything from A&W. as soon as it's over. Oh, why'd I do that?
Seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
That's kind of
like...
It's like
the 8 pints
It's like Friday night in college.
Let's get our shit together here on the junk mail thing.
The little bishop says, that seemed like a good idea. And look what you forced me into. Oh, my God.
Now we're here getting a scrape that nobody enjoys. Yeah. All right.
Sorry I couldn't give you more support there, but I don't really care. Put a little note like everybody else that says, no junk mail, please.
Does that ever work?
For sure it does.
All right. I'm just going to tape my fucking mailbox closed because all my bills, everything is wireless, paperless now.
I don't want anything that's coming in there.
I don't even really know why I stopped there. I don't care what showed up there.
Empty out the...
Occasionally, you know, you get the slip for a delivery that you've missed, and that's the only... I should just pull that out and leave everything in, and Canada Post can deal with the rest.
I'll check the slip.
Always.
Check the slip.
I got a couple of tweets, two in particular...
Rockin' Robin. Doot, doot. No, it's...
One from Kyle in Boston, who we hear from time to time.
What's up, Boston?
And one from a woman named Lauren, who I don't think we've heard from before.
Where's Lauren from?
Didn't say. Both on Twitter that said, this would be kind of middle of the day Monday after we had put out Tall Can Sports on Sunday night, which was the recap of the Pacific Division.
Yep.
And both were basically saying... Can't believe you're
silent.
Not, yeah, you're not going to, you know, you just put out a show and you're not going to speak on this.
Oh, we got thoughts.
And to be honest with you, we did talk about doing something with it on Sunday, but we both felt, let's give it a little more room to breathe. Give us a little more time to read a little more. Everybody's got hot takes and fresh thoughts and these sorts of things. And I'm sure some of that's going to come out here today. But it's also important to try and get a little, you know, a little knowledge under your helmet before you throw a microphone on and start trumpeting.
I was glad to see the Monday night game as well.
And I didn't see the Monday night game to be honest with you. So that was Oakland was Sunday night, wasn't it?
Yeah. This was Dallas, Arizona.
Okay. I saw highlights. So okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where we were at. We had already scheduled to do the Pacific Division thing on the sports side. Shit hit the fan, and we just wanted to make sure we were better prepared to do this. So this is Audio Whiplash. We're not really talking sports just because this is the arena that it's happened in, but this is a far bigger issue than a sports issue. And we thought this was probably absolutely something worth talking about.
Yeah, all the characters involved, well, most of the characters involved, will be involved in the sporting world. Just... We don't really care about results and scores in this topic.
Yeah, so I'm sure you've all got to figure it out at this point. We're talking about take a knee. We're talking about Donald Trump, the protests across the NFL that spilled into the NBA and a little bit into Major League Baseball. The NHL managed to get themselves dirty with it.
Dumb move by the Pittsburgh
That's
Penguins.
So we will get into that. But this is... The thing that to me is the most interesting is how much this has become so far from where it started, right? That this began with Colin Kaepernick a year ago, almost exactly, taking a knee,
sitting on the bench,
through the national anthem in silent protest of, you remember last summer, everything was going crazy. The world was exploding. Like, there was a ton of young black men being shot and, you know, police brutality and things like that. And this was his way of protesting. And I can remember being blown away at the time. And I think we talked about it at the time going, I wish these people, you know, as far right wing, maybe white guys saying, I wish these people would just, you know, protest silently and whatever. And then a black guy does it and you go, no, no, not like that. Not our anthem. No, this couldn't have been an any more peaceful protest. Okay. And now it's about the president and it's about the flag and it's about the military. And that's not what any of this started out as. And it had almost gone dormant a little bit until the president stirred it all back up. Right?
And you know, before we get into any specifics, to me, I think a very fascinating point of this is what gets lost in all this take a knee, anthem issues is exactly what it is we're taking a knee for. It's like taking a knee has become the huge issue,
yeah,
as opposed to what you are taking a knee for.
So essentially, if you want to think of it this way, you walk by somebody and he's pointing at something. And instead of looking at what he's pointing at, you're standing there staring at, look at the crazy guy pointing at shit.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, it's...
Yeah, and that is it.
Why aren't you looking at what they're pointing at? Well, because the guy doing the pointing is the interesting thing.
Because I had somebody say to me the other day, what are they kneeling? I hear us talk about kneeling, non-sports people, and they're just saying, what are they kneeling for? And you're like, that's beautiful right there.
Yeah.
All this has become wrapped up in the flag, wrapped up in the anthem, wrapped up in disrespecting
the
veterans.
Issue is so far pushed down that no one even knows what it is anymore.
This is it. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Is
and
it's
that,
got
that to me is
so
a failure of the media.
For sure.
Asking stupid questions about the kneeling or about the anthem or about the... To people who are no more educated than the average Joe, they're just good at playing a sport and trying to speak their minds on very deep-seated, difficult issues.
Yeah.
Man, the media's dropped the ball here in a huge way in terms of how they've reported this, in terms of the focus of it. I don't know, man. Like, it's become...
Totally, totally lost in the talk. Kaepernick's issue was never, you know, about disrespecting the flag or veterans or the anthem. It was a way to draw attention.
Yeah.
And so, to me,
and he's, for those who aren't sports people, he has been drummed out of the league. He doesn't have a job this year. He wouldn't be a top 10 player at his position, but he is easily good enough to still be in the league, and no one will hire him.
If Jay Cutler can get a job in Miami,
right, no one will hire this guy.
This was a guy who played.
And now, here we are.
4 years ago in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And here we are now with NFL owners, the same people who will not hire this guy, because this is... The issue itself has been pushed so far down, and because everyone's talking about it, they can easily and safely stand with their players and say, we're just standing against the president saying stupid shit, or we're standing against racism in general, or we're standing... The word that the NFL kept presenting was unity. We stand with our players. Against what? Well, we don't need to talk about that. Yeah, you fucking do. And so all these guys who won't hire him are now the same people standing, many of whom donated, and there's a great list that Deadspin printed of NFL owners who contributed to the Trump campaign.
The Jacksonville owner, Con, well, yeah.
Yeah, and you're talking about Croft in New England. There was a bunch of them. Kroenke in Denver. There was a few. There was 8 or 10 that had contributed to the Trump campaign that are all now, because it's the popular thing to do and the easy thing to do, pretending that they had nothing to do with this. It's...
And what I am totally at a loss to comprehend is I look at last night. So the Dallas Cowboys, Mark Whitten and Cardinals receiver Larry Fitzgerald. Right. They were talking, saying, you know, do we do something, you know, together? Two teams together, do we sort of, where they decided, no, we do it separately, and so Jerry Jones came out.
Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
He, arm in arm with his team, took a knee before the anthem.
Yes.
Then stood, remained, locked
linked arm in arm
while the flag was unfurled. To me, that's cheap.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of publicity wise. Hey, look, we're taking part, but not really.
It's something somebody looks at the corner of their eye and they see, in a bar on Sportsnet, or they're just doing whatever and they see it. You haven't really done it.
Yeah.
You've gone out to get the photo op.
Yeah.
But you haven't done. Now, I get it. In the heart of Texas.
Sure.
I get it. It's a separate issue altogether. And I think without living in the country, I think it's probably different in the southern parts of the states than it is elsewhere.
Which is half the problem. Like, right. it can't be different. Okay. Your response can't be different.
And as I move down this topic, right, I heard a clip from an ESPN business guy. That's very informative, I understand. But it's not really important. What's important is he had heard from a longtime Dallas Cowboys season ticket holder who said, after seeing what Jerry Jones and the Cowboys did, he's done with the NFL. He doesn't want to support this disrespect for flag and country.
There's been a lot of that.
And what I don't get is how somebody like that can look past the whole idea of what that flag and that anthem is based on, which is freedom of speech,
mm-hmm.
right to say what you feel, right to redress your government when you're grieved. Like those sorts of things. Well, that is a fundamental.
We hear so much about your amendments. This is the first one.
This is the one that they felt most importantly about.
This was
about.
The very first. You all talk an awful lot about that Second Amendment. This is the first amendment.
And
speak
so,
your mind peacefully.
How can you say, well, no, I not like that.
Right.
What?
Because now you don't like it. Right.
That's right. And as they said, the First Amendment protects some obnoxious, offensive.
You can burn the damn flag.
Stuff. Right. It's not all good.
Right.
Right. And you're not always going to like it, but you have that right. And so to say, yeah, if you're not going to stand, right, you're looking past all the issues and you're snubbing that very essential First Amendment. And I don't know how anybody can have that conversation.
So just to make sure we have set this up properly, Colin Kaepernick was the one a year ago who did what he did over police brutality. He went through, couldn't get a job this summer, is out of the league. This past week, the president is speaking in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, after this issue, I wouldn't say it had disappeared, but it had
backburnered
for sure. He's in Alabama and he states that any NFL owner should fire, and his words, any of those sons of bitches who are taking a knee and disrespecting our flag, disrespecting our country. So it kind of becomes, there's all this talk over the weekend, what's going to happen, what are they going to do? And largely what happened Sunday, as almost every team took part in this in some way. Some had everybody, some stayed in their locker rooms during the anthem, some had just certain guys take a knee with teammates arm in arm, maybe supporting them, whatever might have happened. This was almost across the entire league. But it kind of became about anti-Trump against anti-free speech more than the original issue where this started, right? It became easy when the president is saying these players shouldn't have their right to free speech, essentially, right? Don't kneel or you're fired. The players, in my mind, largely are now protesting that instead of what Kaepernick is protesting. And that's kind of where this blows up. And LeBron James gets involved, Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors. They're NBA champions. They're invited to the White House. He says he won't go. Trump says, well, then you're not invited, which is a very mature response.
Grade four. Right. I got another birthday party. I'm uninviting you anyways.
Right. So that's how this bee's nest gets entirely kicked back up. And I don't even understand why Trump felt the need to. Interesting dichotomy there, though, that Trump looks at the Klan rally, basically, in Charlottesville and goes, well, there was very good people involved there. And then looks at what some black athletes are doing and goes, fire those sons of bitches. That kind of an interesting window into
Yikes.
Yeah, that's a con. Like, the news cycle spins so fast that but when you start to draw a line from these things, this is where the white supremacist thing starts to become pretty clear, right? Protesters are sons of bitches because they're black.
Right. And it was an interesting thing. Somebody said, you know, these people are doing this on their job, on their work hours.
Yeah.
And I read something today that was talking about, now they were dealing with student rights and the rights to be activists in the school and these sorts of things. And what comes out of it is, yeah, your First Amendment rights don't stop when you get to the school gates, or
right.
They don't stop when you get to the field, or they don't stop when – it's not like you're in the Navy in the 17th century where your basic yep. human rights are suspended. That's not how it works.
Well, I wonder, and I didn't expect to be going here, but fucker right in the pussy guy, not at work, gets fired for being obnoxious and being an asshole, but free speech not at work versus – centering yourself out in front of millions of people at work, it gets... Yeah. I was going to ask you on this, does that argument hold any water for you, that you are now at work, you are representing a city and a...
No, I think you have to still be true
yeah.
to yourself
yeah.
and your beliefs, no matter what you do, right? And I don't think that changes.
Right.
Right? And you look at... This is in a country... where Cassius Clay
yeah.
can throw his Olympic medal in the Ohio River in 1960 after the Rome Olympics when they still won't serve him
right.
in a whites-only restaurant in Louisville, right? 1968, Mexico Olympics, John Carlos, Tommy Smith, black fists in the air,
yep,
right? Sent home. That's 50 years ago.
Well, this is, when you talk about Muhammad Ali, he was celebrated like a year ago for being this badass and this rebel at a time where it was so hard to be that, right? When he passed away, it was huge news coverage and, oh my God, what a black leader and what a great guy to look up to. And here we are a year later with more peaceful protest and there's 50% of the country or the NFL fan base, whatever you want to say, looking at these guys going, oh, you piece of shit, I'm giving up my season's tickets and you would support these guys and
yeah.
you don't respect our flag. And we have a very short memory, right? We have, in terms of, it was easy when he was dead to just be positive and look back. And it was difficult for him at that time. And these guys aren't doing near what he did. And yet they're being still roasted here in 2017.
Do you feel different about... Colin Kaepernick now?
I didn't have a problem with him at the time.
Okay. Do you think he's viewed in a different light now?
Yeah, but mainly because I don't think anyone expected that he would be drummed out of the league. He might have been unpopular. He may have lost his job with the 49ers. But the
49ers are bad.
Yeah. But there's 32 teams in the league, 64 quarterbacks, and he's not better than half of them? Come on.
Yeah, no, he's a totally, at this point, a totally capable number
yeah.
two.
Yeah, for sure. So I do feel a little differently just because, and I bet you he didn't think that would be the end of his career either. He knew it would be unpopular. He knew it was going to make life difficult. I bet you if you asked him that day, do you think your career's over? He probably wouldn't have thought so. Well, I know I wouldn't have thought so.
And I hope he took that $10 or $11 million he made last year
yeah.
and was wise with it. Judicious in how he spent it in
yeah,
his last
for sure.
year. But to me, I think as a guy who is an absolute pioneer in this vein, right? Time will show him to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not. Like, we're beating his meth. Like, what he did is nowhere close to the front of the radar right now, right? Like,
no, but I think he will always, he still is very prominently talked about today, right? Post all this weekend stuff. So I think it won't be forgotten what he did.
Well, hopefully time provides a little clarity, right? Like, because right now it's just what the actual issue was is buried underneath this. The NFL has taken that message that frankly they are responsible for burying and co-opted it into look how united we are.
Yeah.
Which couldn't be further from the fucking truth.
Well, and that's the huge takeaway today, right? At the time of this show's airing.
Yeah.
Is... As I'm filtering through a bunch of stuff post NFL weekend,
yep.
is just how far the original message has gone down
yeah.
and buried behind a bunch of other things. That to me is the most.
Why do you think, is it a uniquely American thing? Do we do it here too? Why do you think the flag and the anthem has somehow become so tied to the military, because that's been a huge issue for a lot of people. Is even in, you know, around the NHL teams here in Canada, they're asking American and Canadian players, you know, would you ever take a knee? And would you? And almost all of their answers and almost all of the reasons that people are upset as fans at these NFL players are, it's disrespectful to people who fought and died for our country. And I don't understand how you can be that. Like, in theory, those people fought and died for your right to do this.
Absolutely. And that's, and that, to me, that's what I keep saying. When you talk about the First Amendment and you talk about all these things, there's people, I'm sure, who died, you know, establishing that whole ideal of whatever it, to be American, to be Canadian,
yeah,
whatever it is. I hear people at work who like to, and I work in a spot that is very big on censorship,
right,
or lack thereof in the public libraries.
That's why he comes here afterwards, people.
But people say, well, the right to disagree and to disagree vociferously, you know, you're in a free country. That should be celebrated.
Yeah.
Well, really? So that's, don't just give lip service to it.
Because here's someone disagreeing loudly and publicly.
Yeah. And you know what? Nothing gets done if it's not awkward.
Right.
Like, to me, that's doing what the Cowboys did gives it that nice, sweet, saccharine thing, yeah, right? Where you go, yes, they knelt.
Yep.
But then they stood.
Yeah.
And they were there for the anthem. No. You're noticed by making people feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's how shit gets done. That's how you move the needle. What's happening there? I don't like that.
I've seen so many interviews and tweets from veterans that are actually saying, this is exactly what I don't love it. Like, I wouldn't have taken a knee, or I wouldn't have, but do you understand? And mostly it seems to be veterans who served in previous, you know, much more, I don't want to say more serious, but wars where our freedom actually was threatened.
Yeah.
Rather than some of the shit that they get sent out to take care of now. This is exactly what I went and fought for, right? There is literally, and I sometimes it helps to take this to a slightly over-the-top place, there is literally not a single serviceman or woman around the world wearing that American uniform that on Sunday afternoon when guys started taking a knee had all their bullets disappear and replaced with jelly beans and had them turn around and go, how could you do this to me, America? Like, you didn't hang a single person out to dry. You have this right, and people are there fighting for it. And you, like, I really don't understand the tie. Like, and there's people jumping up and down now saying you have to separate the sports and politics, right? There's a sports, you don't bring your politics. Then we're done with military nights at the Sens game.
Yep.
We're done with the giant maple leaf flag being passed around the lower bowl at Leaf games. Well, we're done with all of that. Anthem's gone all. Until you're prepared to do that, then they're going to be intertwined. They always have been.
And you and I have beat this drum since this show started. Ditch the anthem at the beginning of any sporting event. Do away with it.
Well, you could, yeah. I think that's going to become a whole... Look at the reaction it's getting now, though. That'll be disrespectful to the troops, and that'll be...
Okay, but you know what? They used to play them before movies.
Yeah.
That's gone. These are played at the end of your broadcast hours. This just in, ladies and gentlemen. There was a time when there wasn't enough to put on the TV.
Oh, that it still went, isn't. We just,
okay, yeah. That it went off the air.
Yeah.
And the day's broadcast ended with the anthem. They don't do that anymore.
Right.
Shit changes, people. And I read somewhere today that up until 2009, NFL players didn't come out for the anthem.
I saw that, too. I was intrigued by that.
So do away with it.
Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins for a second. So while all this is going down, for those of you who aren't aware, teams that win a championship in the major sports in the United States are invited to the White House after the season. So the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Golden State Warriors.
New England Patriots.
Blue Jays were invited back in 92, and they went in 93.
Seems odd.
I guess it was just part of the... So they went and met Bush. There is a picture of that. For whatever reason, they didn't go in 93. I can't remember. What, it wasn't some protest.
Hating on Clinton.
Clinton, I guess. The Pittsburgh Penguins, while shit is absolutely hitting the fan across the sports landscape, put out a statement that goes, yeah, we've been invited again, and we're going to go.
And this is in a town So at the same time that the Steelers have decided they're not going out.
For the anthem. Right.
Right. Now, they have a different situation, too, where they have a guy named Alejandro, I think, Villanueva.
Yeah.
Who's a player who did three tours in Afghanistan.
He went out and stood for the anthem and ever since has been saying he wished he hadn't.
Okay, really? I haven't heard that.
Yeah. He says he regrets it, wished he hadn't done it. You know, he feels like he's enabled, you know, some people he wished he hadn't. Anyway, that's a...
Okay, but that's so. This is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's what's happening, right?
So,
and nobody's forced, in my opinion, nobody forced the Penguins to come out on this day.
This is my point. Why now? Did anyone? Why did you feel you needed to put yourself in the middle of this shitstorm? So, the Golden State Warriors, let's call a spade, with a lot of black players on their team, led by Steph Curry, come out and go, "We're not coming. We're not going to the White House." And the way this is being framed, perhaps not unfairly, the Pittsburgh Penguins, with a bunch of rich white guys, yeah, we'll go. And they put some slimy little line at the end of the news release that says, you know, everyone has a right to protest and to feel their politics, but there are other ways to protest, and so we're going to go. And it just came off so mealy-mouthed and so...
The thing is, I don't think you're, you know, you talk about calling a spade, football for the most part, basketball for the most part, basketball especially is dominated by black athletes. And I'm sure some of them have come from very affluent neighborhoods.
Sure,
that's fine.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm telling you, I'm supporting your, the thing is 90%, nobody makes the NHL, not from this country and certainly not from the United States. Nobody makes the NHL without their parents spending tens of thousand dollars a year to play hockey. Nobody, very few.
The equipment, the travel teams, the
you're playing
the
AAA
fees,
hockey, you are paying $10,000 a year easy.
Yeah.
And so to me.
Guess who that weeds out? A lot of lower class,
well, this
lower
is it.
Income.
So all I'm saying is people have made sacrifices. Yes, every year on draft day you hear those.
Sure.
My single mother. Right?
Of course.
But they have family and they have second mortgages.
Yeah.
They have an ability to make these things happen.
Yes.
These people have, I want to say 99% of them have never been discriminated against.
That's right.
Even black athletes who come from good homes have tasted some form of discrimination.
Yep.
So for white bread hockey players to say, yeah, we're going.
We understand that you're upset and you have a right to protest.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
And I don't pretend to understand.
No, of course not.
Right. But I certainly understand where it's coming from, right? I don't pretend to go, yeah, I know what you're yes, brother, I know what you're saying.
And so for them to stand up, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and say it's tradition, did you know that people didn't start visiting the White House NHL teams till 1991? Means 75% of all Stanley Cup champions ever awarded did not visit the White House.
Well, I saw Forrest Gump and
so, you know,
University of Alabama or wherever he was.
Sure, but if the way you're going to frame this is on tradition, there's not enough tradition there.
It
was a smarmy decision, and I think this was one of those things where the NHL wants to get out in front and assume. People are going to applaud there, and you go, oh my God, we have once again so horribly misread what's happening here.
How about this? Do nothing.
Nothing. Literally nothing would have been the best option.
Don't say anything. Don't talk about it. Wait.
Yeah.
And then you know what?
There was no deadline. The invitation didn't just come out that day. There was no reason.
Well, you're not going. Anyways, it's so asinine. Really, that you would go ahead and you just say, you know what?
Walk by and see these grenades going off everywhere and go, I bet I can stop this, right?
Yeah. I'll just throw a blanket
God.
Over that. It'll be fine.
You could not have possibly misread the situation any worse.
And so...
Did you hear about, or did you see the story, as you talked about, you know, how there isn't a black athlete in major professional sports who hasn't seen some kind of discrimination? Did you read about Bruce Maxwell, catcher for the Oakland A's? Who is anything but set in stone. He's in his second year in the league. He's only making like $600,000. He's batting .244. He was the first guy in MLB to take a knee, and I believe that was Sunday. And he stood up in front of his teammates in the locker room, said, I want you to know what I'm going to do, and this is why. I don't expect you to all agree with me, and I won't think less of you if the media asks you about it afterwards and you disagree or say publicly that you wish I hadn't done it. And immediately the Oakland A's come out and put out a statement in support of him. He stands most of it, or the teammate on either side of him as he kneels, have a hand on his shoulder. He did one interview afterwards and explained that, I believe it was in SI, as a 10-year-old kid, his dad drove him to a baseball tournament an hour away. His team won the championship against the home team, and men in the stands threatened to hang him and his father for being essentially the only black athlete on the other team. So these are the sorts of things that he said he fought it off for a long time. What do I think? What do I want to do? And he just said at some point, you can't erase what's happened to you and the stain that never goes away, right? And this is, you know, it goes back to what Kaepernick's talking about. And like I said, instead of looking at what these people are pointing at, we're sitting there looking at the people pointing. So they've all gone through something here, and for some reason the media and large amounts of the public, which count on the media, are missing the boat here terribly on what's actually happening and why it's happening.
So look here, ladies and gentlemen.
One more question before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
What happens next Sunday? Are you now committed to this? Have you made your point?
Yeah. Well, and thanks to Trump for bringing a little water to an oil fire. We'll see. Yeah. I know. I don't expect it. I expect it to slightly recede from here.
Yeah. Do you think... I think another president, first of all, another president doesn't say what Trump said that got all this stirred up again. But I think another president invites 10, 12 leaders in the NFL, like players. Let's talk about this. At least for nothing else than for PR.
Yeah.
Come in. Let's talk about these issues. What can we do? But man, there's been talk that you did it once and everybody backed you. And now NFL owners are going to start to mandate that you stand.
And if you remember way back at the beginning, back in January, February, when Anderson Cooper talked about, you know, Trump jumping up and defecating on the desk.
Yes.
could you have been more prophetic?
Oh my God.
Like could Trump bring a little dignity to the table, to the office? Like will you ever hold that office in the same regard as you did before this?
We've talked about this a few times on this show too. Every time normalcy gets stretched, it doesn't come all the way back.
No.
And one way of looking at that is the Patriot Act, all that sort of stuff after 9/11. They convinced the people to give them a lot more power and infringe on their freedoms a lot. And they've never given it all back, right? No president comes in and goes, all that power the last guy got, I'm going to give some of it back. This is a little different, but we may be looking at even the next guy, as long as he's less crazy than
Trump.
I was just
going to say, do you think he's crazier? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I think, we may never see another standard politician who understands international relationships and policies and the budget and all these things, who's just kind of a George H.W. Bush drone standing up there. Are we now in an age where it's just crazy, and as long as you're a little less crazy than Trump, you get in?
Well, see,
like, it's not going to bounce totally back.
But I look at W, and I think he looks like a,
oh my God,
a wicked statesman.
Yes. And I couldn't stand that guy at the time, right? And I still think history views him as a terrible president. But I would take him, if someone said to me tomorrow, you can have W back, let's do that. Let's get that going.
Really? This is what I'm saying is, you know, they showed all those clips where he's got his aw shucks moments or he's saying something.
He's choking on a pretzel.
Yeah, whatever it is, right? He was just sort of like, I can't be commissioner of Major League Baseball, so I'm going to be president of the United States instead. Right? Harmless.
Yeah.
Look at that guy.
Yeah.
Whereas this other guy's... I don't think Trump has any respect for the office. I don't think he fully understands it.
Well, and so Puerto Rico has no power anywhere. right? They've been devastated by this last hurricane. North Korea has recently said, we take Trump's tweets as a declaration of war.
Well, when he calls him Little Rocket Man.
And he's tweeting about the NFL. Like, do you understand the fires burning around you, man?
Nero. Sorry, it's Nero.
Oh, my God. Like, it's unreal what's happening right now. And I do wonder, at one point, Trump didn't like the NFL very much, right? Started his little USFL, and he was going to knew what he was doing.
A little axe to grind here. Yeah, you think maybe, he's trying to come back full circle and say, oh, I'm shaking my fist at you.
Maybe. Seems more likely shaking his fist at the black athlete playing in that league than the rest of the owners who got him into the office. But you know what? It was something we wanted to kick around a bit. I don't think either you and I are sitting here claiming to have the answers, but it was important to shine a light on what is actually happening as opposed to what's being presented to you.
Take a look at what that flag really stands for in your mind and in your heart.
Yeah.
Right? And then examine all the things that come before that.
No, it's true.
Right. Keep that in mind, folks.
It's Audio Whiplash.
See you.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.